How do you leverage emotional intelligence to create the life, relationship, and business of your dreams? I've spent over a decade studying, speaking, and coaching on emotional intelligence, and in this podcast, I share the exact principles and strategies my clients have used to earn seven-figure incomes, heal their relationships, get engaged after years of failed relationships, and step into their authentic power to become the leaders they came here to be. Let's do this.
Hi guys, welcome back to episode 217 of That's What He Said. This is part two today, what women want in relationship. If you tuned into our last episode, it was what men want in relationship, where we dived in into that and delivered our views on what men need in relationship. So yeah, today we'll be talking about what women want, and I will leave it to you to kick it off.
So if you haven't listened to Dan's perspective on what men want, I think that's episode 215. So definitely go check that out as well. And just to preface this conversation, you know, this is obviously my perspective on this. However, I've been coaching women for many years, and I coach a lot in the realm of relationships. I've made a lot of relationship mistakes myself, and I have a high level of self-awareness, and I have I'm always analyzing. So I reflect back on what are the trends and what am I seeing here with my coaching clients, and also what have I seen in myself. And so when I share these three needs, so I'm going to focus on needs of a woman. These are very, like, these are the root need, the core need. And I was reflecting because when I talk to women about what they want in relationship, and when we talk about things, a lot of times, especially when we're younger and we haven't done work, we haven't really experienced, it's like, oh, I want him to be really handsome. I would like him to be wealthy. I'd like him to be tall. And they seem superficial, but those desires of a woman actually have a core need below that. And it goes back to our biology. So I'm going to jump in and I'm going to link some of these needs to some of the ones that are more common that people might say. So number one is she wants to feel safe and protected. Now, if that offends you because you think that women should be equal and women are just as strong as men, I'm going to assume that you're not in the most fulfilling and rewarding relationship as you can be in, because women and men are fundamentally different. We bring unique attributes. And as a woman, I don't want to be as strong as a man. Like, that's not why I'm here. And we want to feel safe and protected so that we can be in our feminine. So again, going back to my coaching experience and what I've brought women through is a lot of masculine presenting women, high achieving, successful women who wear a masculine mask. And the reason that they do that, when we go through the layers and we find out the root cause, it was because something happened for them to come to the belief, and this could have been very early in life, that they needed to look after themselves. They became hyper independent and they essentially became their own man. They were like, I'm strong and I'm independent, and da, da, da. So those women struggle to get into their feminine. Whereas women who feel safer on the masculine and who feel safe in general, feel like God or the universe has their back, they are more inclined to be in their feminine. So when a man can come to a woman and make her feel safe, she's more likely to go into her feminine. Now, what do I mean by safety? Safety, there's so many levels of it. There's emotional, financial, physical, psychological. And this goes back to those surface level desires that people say, like, I want, like, women, like, for the most part, I know I'm making a generalization here, but run with me, strong presenting men, right? And it goes back to our biological need of wanting to be protected, we need to know that if we were going to be attacked, that this man would have a presence and be able to protect us. Same thing with financial. So when women say, I want a man that's wealthy, it's like, it sounds superficial, but it's because she doesn't want to stress. She wants to be in her feminine of just being there and being in her essence. So there's these superficially sounding needs, but at the core of it comes back to she wants to feel safe and protected. And when she feels safe and protected, i.e., she feels safe in her emotions, she feels safe financially, she feels safe physically, then she can relax into her feminine. So when men think that women are too strong and too much in her masculine, you know, I don't want to put all the pressure on men because it's definitely both, but he needs to rise up and create safety. And then she also needs to do the healing work to allow herself to relax into safety, right? So it's a dual thing, but essentially the core need that women want is we want to feel safe and protected. Let's look at it even in terms of family, right? We want to mate innately with someone that is going to be able to take care of our family, whether it's like physically, emotionally, financially. And why? Because I can't be in my masculine offensive protecting myself physically if I'm supposed to be nurturing a child. There's nothing more vulnerable than like a woman with a baby on her breast, breastfeeding, right? So she needs to have the safety to want to go into that. And then there's some women, and again, this isn't all women who don't want children, but for some women, the idea of even having children is so far off the mark because they cannot fathom feeling safe enough to relax into her feminine to have this baby on her like this, because who's going to protect her? Who's going to take care of her? So there's some core wounding there, and for sure, it's up to both of you to be willing to come to the party.
Yeah, so I want to butt in here for a bit because I know in our relationship, and I want to sort of help the guys listening here to get an idea as well of how to make their women feel safe, because some just don't know how to make them feel safe financially, emotionally, psychologically. So I know in our relationship in the beginning, you know, you weren't feeling super safe and you had some doubts. And I remember you saying you don't trust me. And I was so offended because not in the sense of that I was going to cheat on you, but that you just didn't feel totally safe. So I just wanted to ask, you know, for you to talk about maybe some of the things that I did in our relationship, because you were really in your masculine and you really softened up and really fell into your feminine as our relationship grew, as we grew closer, and that trust and safety did grow in you. So what were some of the things maybe that I did in our relationship so we could point that out for people?
Yeah,
so
I love that. Let's go to the emotional safety, because I think that's an absolutely big one. And I might have even said that to you about how important that was, the emotional safety part. So I think someone could listen to the way that I speak about relationships and think that I'm making a lot of generalizations. And in some instances, to make illustrations, you kind of have to. So for the purpose of illustrating this example, I'm going to make the generalization, which I think is pretty valid in most instances, that women are emotional. We feel very deeply. And it, from my perspective, it is a superpower. You know, if women could tap into their intuition and not their paranoia, like, girl, you would be so unstoppable. You wouldn't be dating losers. You would have the life that you want because you would know when someone is a red flag or a green flag. However, with our emotions, and some of this has to do with our cycle, okay, we go through very specific cycles throughout the month where, you know, I don't know if you've seen The Real, where it's like this girl is saying like the emotions or the energy levels of a woman, and she's like sitting up and she's laying down and then she's running and then she's passing out. And like, that's essentially what a woman goes through in the month. And then you just add life situations to it, and it can really impact a woman's emotions. Now, a woman who is not allowed to express emotionally is going to feel emotionally unsafe, meaning she may become cold, she may just shut off. Like, there's different ways that different women will respond to this. But one of the easiest ways to, well, not the easiest, but one of the most simple ways to make your woman feel safe in your presence is to be bigger than her emotions. So I like to create illustrations. So for example, when I have a big emotion, what I don't need and what Dan has never said to me is like, you're overreacting. Oh God. Like those are like the worst words you could say to a woman. Okay. When she's having an emotional moment, or like, don't worry about it. It's fine. It's not a big deal, right? You're minimizing her emotions.
You'll be all right.
Yeah. Fine. Yeah, exactly. We don't need any of that. Mm. And what women actually need is for you to witness her and for you not to be even impacted by her emotions. So it's kind of, I use this analogy for parenting as well. It's one of my favorites because it's such a good representation, is when your child is acting like crazy and all that, do you go down to your child's level and decide to be two little goats on the mountain, like bumping heads? Or are you the mountain that holds the goat and anything else that's there? And to me, the masculine, someone who is strong and stable, another very sexy characteristic of the masculine is his stability. He becomes the mountain and she can be the little goat. Now, I'm not advocating women be crazy and be like, you need to be the mountain. I'm just saying that the reality is we do go through these emotional fluctuations. And as women, when we see our men be strong enough to hold that, that's when we feel safe. We're like, oh my gosh, he can see. And that maybe that's where like the saying comes from. Like, if you can't have me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best. I just think with like aphorisms like that, people get carried away and it gives women excuses to be drama queens. Like, you're not allowed to do that either. Because I feel like women take it too far sometimes, this idea.
And I just want to speak on the men's perspective in that, because like when women, or when you are having those big emotions, you want to be the bigger man, and it's not about winning the argument. It's like, there's so many things that go through your mind. There's so many things you want to say. There's triggers that come in you, but that's where the strength comes to just hold your tongue and hold space and realize, telling yourself, it's not about you. They're going through some stuff, and just bite your tongue and listen and validate their emotions. I validate her Marcy's emotions and say, you have every right to feel that way. And I just hold her and I just be silent. I don't even give advice at this point. Just listen and hold space. And that's how you help your partner to feel emotionally safe in those moments when you are triggered as well, when you want to retaliate, when you're feeling angry, upset, like it's an attack on you at times, but it's not. It's a emotional. It's just an emotional time for her and the emotions that she needs to express, and we just gotta zip it for a bit. And that doesn't mean that it's easy. There's, like I said, there's so many things that you want to say, but you just gotta sit tight.
Yeah. And this is also assuming you're in a healthy relationship with like an emotionally well person, because I do not advocate, because I see this too, obviously, in my coaching practice, where one person, because the other person is working on their relationship and working on developing themselves, the other person kind of like goes crazy with the amount of energy and emotions they're throwing at the person. That's not right either. This is assuming that we're coming together as two mature, whole people that really want to build a relationship together. And the advice about just being quiet is some of the best advice also for women. And this is what I say to my clients all the time is, your power is in your silence. Speak less. Because, I mean, listening to my podcast, listening to our show, you probably think I don't stop talking. I actually don't talk a lot. And that's really because I'm a teacher by nature. That's why I'm on this planet. So when the mic is on and it's time to speak, I will speak. But Dan can, you know, confirm that most of the time I'm like quiet. Most of the time I am not talking. So as a woman as well, equally for the man, it's, you know, your power is in what you don't say, especially because a lot of the feedback I get from women is he doesn't listen to me when I talk. And in my mind, I'm like, maybe you're talking too much, because if you're talking like nonstop, how is he going to retain it? He's going to zone out eventually. So just holding back and really choosing your words and asking yourself, is this true? Is this kind? And does this need to be said? This is from somebody else and they're not exactly like that, but that's essentially what it is. It's mm-hmm. like, is this true? Is this kind? And do I need to say this right now? It's kind of a good little filter to ask yourself when you're in these emotional states. So yeah, and like with physical safety, like, again, we don't need everyone to be a super, we don't need everyone to be like a supermodel, and you are not a supermodel. Supermodels are thin, but Mr. Olympia, what are they? I don't even know the terms of these Mr. people. Olympia's no, fine. Yeah. Like you don't need to be a bodybuilder, but for you to have a strong physical stature, and you don't need to have a six pack, but for you to be fit is attractive, because that shows your partner that you can protect her if something were to arise. And I think that that is a normal and very valid desire of the feminine, is that the masculine has that edge and that he could and would protect her if, and this is primal, right? If I have a little baby, I'm not in a situation, or maybe I have three little babies, I'm not in a situation to protect myself physically. I know that Dan would rip you up. So I'm good. So I have physical safety. I feel safe.
And I also hope that that can help with the emotional safety or in some regard, because you know if someone is dedicated and disciplined enough to have the body or, you know, to do that kind of training, you also know that they can be dedicated, they can be disciplined in all these other areas of life. So you judge a book by its cover. If you're extremely overweight and you're lazy and you're not taking care of your health, there's probably a good chance that you don't trust that person in other areas of life, because they don't have that discipline. And that's the way I see it. That's the male perspective.
I agree.
I think that, you know, it's really important to have that physical and show that discipline and dedication
to something. Yeah, and I always say, like, the way that you look is like a message to the world about how you think of you. And so you don't have to be, like, the most attractive person in the room, but to take pride in yourself, to be well-groomed, to, you know, make sure you're exercising, moving your body regularly in a way that feels good for you. You don't have to do it the way everybody else does it, but just that is very attractive. And women do want that. Women want to know. Women want to see men doing stuff that they wouldn't do. Like, I would never lift weights like Dan, and I would never want to. Like, that's more his thing. So, yeah, so I'm going to kind of like wrap up that point, because, and with like the most important thing, I think the safety piece, because masculine men want feminine women, period. All women, masculine women and feminine women, want masculine men, period. So that means the woman, for her to present to you femininely and be soft for you, you need to be that masculine strong front of the relationship. If she feels like you can't take care of business, if you can't pay the bills because you're too unorganized, if you can't, you know, manage the money, or you can't take care of the kids, like if she can't trust you, she will then step into her masculine and start taking care of everything. And then you start losing that polarity in the relationship, where she feels like, oh my God, I'm doing everything. And nobody long-term is attracted to someone where they feel like they're taking care of this man in a way that is not hot.
Like, I actually remember watching a reel or something like last week where They were talking about when a woman has to baby and take care of their man, it reminds them of taking care of their child, and it's just like having another child, and there's nothing more repelling for a woman than feeling like they're taking care of a man like their child.
Oh, it goes both ways, right? Because same thing, like if I'm so naggy and all the time to you, you're like, you feel like my mom. Who wants to bang their mom? It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's we need to maintain those boundaries of like, I want to have the polarity. I want to be attracted. So it takes discipline. Honestly, I feel like it takes discipline to have a good relationship because you have to be conscious of how you're showing up for that person and the way that you're treating them. And all of that is so important. Okay, so point number two, every woman wants and needs to be desired. This goes back to her feminine nature. That is, in essence, what we want. If a woman could do nothing and she didn't have to plug into the physical world and she didn't have to plug into commerce and she didn't have babies, like all she would want was the feminine wants to be desired. It is so important. And her desire comes from like how attractive she feels. There was like a study and the name of it isn't coming to me at the moment, but it was around how women were their desire to sleep with their husbands came down more to how attractive they felt than anything else, than how attracted they were to their husbands. So if the woman doesn't feel attractive because you don't give her compliments and you're not like slapping her butt or you're not telling her she's beautiful, then she's going to forget, especially if she's not doing that inner work on herself, she's going to forget that she's the damn prize and then she's not going to feel beautiful. Some of the hottest intimacy moments is when the girl feels beautiful. Maybe it's after like an event or something like that and she feels beautiful. It's because she feels desired. You look at her different. So that aspect, every woman needs that so much. And
I look at it as a crime if I walk past you in the kitchen and don't slap your butt.
I was like, what's a crime? Oh my God. and it's I see must. This a lot with moms. Oh my gosh, my heart goes out to new moms. I feel like personally with Luca, I didn't go through this. I think because Dan and I had such a beautiful relationship and honestly had done so much work that like I knew my innate worth and I really did feel beautiful after I had Luca, even though I felt like my body was just wrecked. Like I feel like I'd been hit by a truck. I still felt beautiful, but that was a reflection of my relationship with Dan and the level of work I have done on myself. Whereas with my daughter, it was completely different. When a woman has a baby, she does not feel beautiful. Her body has changed in ways that she's like, what is going on here? Not only that, it's like the hormones, the chemicals, everything. Her body has been through so much. Her mind, her brain has now transformed. She is not thinking the way that she used to. She can't even use her brain in the way that she did before for up to 2 years or something like that. Like it's something insane. And so she's going through this massive transformation. And then the stress of trying to take care of this baby. And then the husband is, maybe he's also feeling neglected and maybe he's doing his best, but there's a bit of a loss of connection between them. The woman starts feeling undesired by her husband. The husband feels rejected by the woman. Maybe she's neglecting his advances because she feels very unconfident. She's got spit up on her shirt and in her hair. She hasn't showered. She stinks. Because after you have a baby, like you actually smell more. It's weird. There was a research on that as well. There's something linked to like why women smell more and like type of sweat after you have a baby. Like I'm telling you, it is like it rocks your life in the most magical way. And so to help your woman feel desired, especially when she feels undesirable, oh my gosh, like that is... that's a game changer for any relationship. But I get it. I do empathize with the men as well because it's really hard to keep showing up for your woman and trying to make her feel beautiful when she's denying your advances. She's just being a BI and she's, you know, she's emotional and she's sleep deprived. It's really hard. And you're kind of, you look at her and you're like, where is my beautiful bride gone? This is not what I signed up for. And so I get it. It's hard on both accounts. But somehow helping her to feel desired is so important, whether that's, you know, giving her time for herself, like drawing her a bath, like getting her nice slippers. I don't know, like the littlest things to make her feel so beautiful is, it can go such a long way. And again, with the desirability part of it, going back, like if I'm not desirable, guess what? I can't reproduce. If I can't reproduce and have babies, guess what? That's the end of my family. So all of this is not superficial. It all comes back to our core needs. And it's just understanding what is the real need here. What are we really getting at? What are we really asking for? So when the woman is asking for flowers, the woman is asking for, because I have a lot of, and I see a lot online, oh my gosh, I will totally own that I am very triggered by some of the stuff I see, especially on TikTok in terms of the relationship advice. It makes me cringe. It's like skin crawling stuff. It's like how to manipulate your guy to get him to give you flowers and da 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 da, and how to, oh my gosh, it's, babe, yes, it is so bad.
Yes, seen some of those. I just want to jump in there as well.
Yeah, of course.
And just, you know, with, for the men that want help to, you know, get their woman to feel desired in those moments. And a big part of that, you touched on it a little bit just there, was acknowledging them. And by doing that, it is, it's those little gifts. It's doing those little one percenters, mm-hmm, thinking about it. What would she like me to do? What would make her happy today? If it's just buying her favorite chocolate from the shop without her asking, if it's just getting a little, one of her flowers or a little card just to say you're amazing, leaving a little sticky note in the morning, just a little something of showing those little acts of kindness, those little acts of appreciation to let her know. And they're always a great way to start, you know, especially if you're at a place where you're already in it and you already are in that mess, we'll say, just start to change those little acts. We call them in football the one percenters, doing the one percenters consistently, and the big things will take care of themselves. So I just wanted to bring that, just acknowledge them where they're at and make the effort on those little things.
Yeah, I love that. And I'll continue that point about the, like, asking for flowers and gifts. The reason she's asking for that, that's a way for her to what? It's a symbol of you proving that she's desirable. That's what it is. That's essentially what it is. Mm. Oh my gosh. I have to take this moment to talk about what I've been seeing, like, on TikTok. Like, it is so bad. So there's this woman, obviously I'm not going to say who it is. I actually don't remember her name, but she has a crazy amount of followers and she gives advice on relationships, and her literal advice is, be his stress. Men do not fall in love with peace. They fall in love with chaos. Mm. And she was like, be the drama, get him tired, wear him out. This is how you get the flowers. This is how you get him to buy the big purchases. And all of it is games. And I really advise you, men and women, to not do that. That is a great way to put yourself in a toxic cycle. And these poor women who, God bless them, they don't, obviously they're going to her because they trust her and they think she's supporting them in the relationships. But listen, relationships are not about playing games. If you're going to look at it as a game, look at it of like, oh, okay, so am I in my feminine, my masculine, like understanding where you are with things and like your energetics and knowing how to pivot and how to respond. If you want to look at it a game like that, but in terms of like a game of like manipulating people and controlling and being his drama, stressing him out, because that's right. She was quoting a study, and I don't think she actually gave the study, because I wanted to actually read the study to be like, what, to see if it was just like, if that was actually the findings or if it was kind of like, you know, a generalization. But the study that she was referring to, saying that men and women fall in love differently. So like we opened with women wanting stability. So women fall in love in stable situations and safety. So when the man creates safety and stability, that's when a woman, oxytocin goes up and she falls in love. Whereas men fall in love in chaos because they want, because it raises their cortisol maybe. And they want to, because they're analytical and they want to fix and da 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 da. And look, that is factual, okay? So I'm not arguing with the research in regards to that. But I am, however, arguing with the conclusions stemming from that. So a man may like to fix problems, but if you are his problems every single day, he is going to get exhausted. When I look at the most successful men that I know, and even the most successful men that I see on like platforms, right? Like high performing men, they do not have crazy partners. They have a stable, good, traditional woman. Why is that? Because yes, men love to solve problems, but you shouldn't be one of them. You should not be a hot mess express that he's constantly getting you out of fits of anxiety and he's constantly trying to show to you that he's not cheating, that he's constantly having to prove his love to you. He constantly doesn't know what's going on. Like she's recommending, like you don't respond to his messages. You don't do this. You keep him on his toes. Like why would you do that to someone you care about? Number one, stop playing these games. And number two, you say you want a successful alpha male. An alpha male will not pull up with your garbage. No. And here's the other thing. Alpha men, okay, they want to achieve and yes, they want to solve problems. Do you know where they want to do it? In the business. They are dealing with so much complexity in their businesses because I have coached with and I have been with high performing men and they're constantly under stress. They do not want to go home and have Miss Drama Queen at home too. He needs a good, stable woman. And in fact, more men, high-profile men, are coming out and saying, this is what you need to do. Stop going with like these 10 crazy girls and choose one because she will help you build. I mean, I'm even thinking of someone like Alex Hormozi, right? Mm-hmm. Who with Layla Hormozi. Like they caught on a vision. They decided to partner together and they're building an empire. I don't think for a second that Alex would keep her around if she was drama queen.
No way.
At all. So that was a massive tangent, but I've just been so like, oh my gosh, just be very conscious of the relationship advice you get. I mean, even with ours, be very discerning and ask yourself, does this feel aligned for me? And is this the dynamic that I actually want to be in? Because my goodness, like I was just watching some of the videos that she was doing and I was like, if I was doing this to Dan, I would be exhausted myself trying to maintain this role of like not messaging him back, then messaging him, pretending to be angry and then da-da-da and like, oh my gosh. So anyway, yes, the desirability piece. The woman wants to be desired. She might say it superficially. She might say, I want flowers. What she's really saying is, I want you to show me that you desire me, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, point three is she wants you to lead. Now, again, some people might be like, yeah, but I want to lead. I don't believe a woman that is in her feminine actually wants to lead her relationship. I just don't. You can argue with me otherwise. I think even high performing, masculine presenting, because I feel like I'm that. I can be masculine presenting in certain contexts, and I'm happy with that. Like I own that fully. But even high performing, successful women who do a lot, same thing like I said, how men want to come home and relax. Women also want to come home and relax. Like men don't want drama. Well, women don't want to come home and have to take care of everything and be leading the relationship. And we want our men to lead. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. This is such an important point. So if the woman has been through bad relationships and she is in predominantly plays in her masculine, then she will fight you on that. She will not.
She won't feel safe. She won't trust you to do that.
Yeah. So you've got to show her, like with Dan, I wasn't willing to give. I don't just surrender to people. And like even my sister said that at her speech at our wedding is Mars doesn't surrender. I do not surrender. You have to prove to me of your integrity, of your strengths, of your masculinity before I surrender to you. Why? Because I've got some wounding. I've got some, you know, but also I also don't just see that as wounding. I also see that as discernment and, you know, being mature and also protecting my daughter, etc. But the woman does, like, my innate, like, my desire is for Dan to lead, but he had to show me that he was worthy of my fellowship. Like, I'm not just going to follow him because he's the man. He has to show me that he's worthy.
And so to bring that back into to simple terms for the men listening, when you ask, what do you want for dinner? Oh, I don't know. I don't eat anything. Like, what do you want?
I hate that.
Exactly, right? She hates that. It's like, and I was pretty bad about it because I eat everything and I'm like, I'm not the fussy one. I eat it. And that was one of the things that I've worked on over the last few years. Whereas now I will message Mars, say, what's better for you, Tuesday or Wednesday for lunch? And I'll book it. And then I say, okay, we're booked at 12 for lunch because that's our that's one of the days that we're free. The kids are at school. So I go ahead and I plan it and I organize it and I just do it now. I don't need to ask what she wants to eat. I just take it on my own initiative and lead because that's what we do. And, you know, you should know what your partner likes to eat anyway. And so that's a simple example of being able to lead. It's not like controlling and it's not always making the decisions, but it is just being initiative, taking initiative. And when you can make the decision, you make the decision. So that's just it's one of the little things that, you know, I've worked on and what we do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And like when you take little things, like when you go back to that, because I feel like I'm being courted when you do that. And like when you take things off of her plate, that's also leading.
Well, it leads back to the other topics that we talked about. It leads you to feel more desired because, oh, he wants to date me. He wants to take me out.
Exactly.
You know, you're feeling appreciated. You're feeling seen. So they tie into each other in that regard. You know, when you when you lead, you feel safe. You feel led. You feel seen.
Exactly. And like, you know, biblically, the woman is the support. And the support is not secondary. Sometimes the support is the main show. Like, I personally think that my job as a mom is way more important than Dan making money. It just is, right? But I'm still a support system to him. I allow him to lead. That's a conscious decision to lead our home. And when I say that, like, I truly mean, like, I allow him to lead. I respect what he says. And we communicate about everything. And I would never make big decisions without him because I respect him. So that's like a respect thing. But again, going back to like the core needs and like why women want this, again, it's because we want you to lead so we can focus on feeling beautiful, nurturing our children, creating. So our creating could be our businesses, right? I see my business as a creation. I don't even see it as work. I see it as creating. And I did a conscious shift like a year ago or maybe even more where I was like, when I say to my kids, like, I have to work. I tried shifting that and being like, I'm creating because it just sounds more fun and it was more aligned to my feminine. So to allow your woman to be in her feminine also means she can be more materially successful in this 3D physical world too. But all three needs are like primal. These are primal. Going back to the first one of safety, okay? If you don't protect me and my babies die, like in the simplest terms, right? If you don't desire me, it's in our DNA. If you don't desire me, I can't reproduce a baby. Right? So again, equals death. And if you don't lead me, I can't be there for the children and do those creative things, which is my essence and who I am. Now, again, we were talking about how there's a bunch of more superficial sounding desires that your woman or the girl that you're dating could be saying. Try to trace it back to one of these core needs that we just laid out for you. You'll probably find that it is related to one of those. And is there another way that you can meet that need, right? Because sometimes what she's saying, like, I want this, and maybe you can't meet that need right now. There's another way to meet that core need that she's actually getting to, you know? Like, sometimes girls say they want these, like, big things, but really it's something else, and you can do it in your own way. Because that's one thing I've learned about men is they don't like being told what to do. And then women like telling men what to do. So that's very challenging, right? So it's about, you know, understanding what she's saying and also understanding what she's not saying and what she's really saying beneath her more sometimes surface level desires. Yeah. So, yeah, I hope that helped in terms of understanding what women want. Let us know if you agree, especially if you're a woman. Like, does that resonate for you? Was anything that I said super triggering as well? I know that, you know, me 10 years ago, if you had said, like, the number one needs to be protected, I'd be like, are you kidding me? I protect myself. I create my own security. I make my own money, blah, 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 blah. So it'd be interesting.
And that's big these days. You know, we understand that a lot of women out there now are doing that and need to do that, and but unless you want to keep doing that, you know, then potentially we got to change some things, because you were very much like that before we met, and there was a lot of changing, but you've, like you said, you've done the work, you've done a lot of work on yourself, and so have I, and it feels natural now, as we are with me and my masculine, and I've grown into that. I had certain parts of myself that wasn't very masculine. And you were very in your masculine and not very feminine in a lot of areas. And we flipped. Like, and I still remember having arguments. Like, I remember when we first got together and my business had some challenges. Like, right when we fell pregnant, my business stopped producing an income and we had a bit of a low point. And you were taking care of some of the finances. And I felt worthless. I hated it. And you had to be this... You had to be in your masculine, and you know, this wasn't a roller coaster. This was a roller coaster for us. It wasn't all rainbows and butterflies and easy and perfect. Like we can speak on this because it's our experience, and we have done the work on ourselves, but we've also experienced it. We haven't just learned in a study or in a course. We are living and breathing it. So the things that we are talking about. Like you said, be able to discern, do your own research, listen to other people as well. But this is our experience. This is our beliefs and our values. And we're always going to deliver that. And hopefully it aligns with you because this is what we believe in.
Yeah, I agree. I loved everything that you said. We did do a big pivot in how we were, because in some ways you were more in your feminine and I was certainly more in my masculine. And together, by nurturing each other, we were able to pivot that, where now you're very much in your masculine and I'm much more in my feminine. And it works so much better for us. And like you said, this was something that, like, obviously I've studied this stuff, but we went through it. And so we changed. So it's possible to change your relationship if you feel like, oh God, I'm so much in my masculine and he's so in his feminine, or he's not showing up for me, or I don't know how to trust him, or I don't know how to let go, then definitely check out our academy. We'll link it below. Yeah. Dan and I are working on something as well. So DM us and let us know if you want more info on our new project. We're just going to take a wait list for now because we're working on it in the background, but I coach in the space of relationships, and now going through this relationship with you, babe, I feel like it's given me a deeper level of understanding as well.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's coming from some feedback where a lot of Marcy's clients have reached out and said, does Dan have his own program? Is Dan a coach? Does Dan have something? Like, I want my partner to do something. And out of that, it sort of pushed me out of my comfort zone to go, well, you know what? It's something I've always wanted to do, is work with men. So I think this is the perfect way to kick that off, is for Marcy and I to create something. So, you know, if that is something that you would be interested in, would love to hear your feedback and that you would be interested, because obviously we don't want to create something for nothing. So we would love to hear from you. We'd love to hear what you would like to learn, or what you would like to have in maybe a course or a program. Because yeah, it's in the building stage.
Yeah, in the realm of relationships.
We
want
to help. We really like to help relationships. I believe we can help. I think we have one of the best relationships on the planet. And you know, maybe biased, but it's not just an image on Instagram. Like, we live and breathe it. And
people give us that feedback. Like, even our friends. It's so easy. People. It's like one thing to present a certain way online, and then there's another way to meet someone and be around them, and our friends can fully like advocate for the fact that like our relationship, the way it is online, it's like that probably even more in person, in real life.
And there's one other thing I wanted to say. If this episode triggered you at all, whether you're a woman or a man, it probably means that you were where we were when we weren't in our masculine, feminine, in the right way, where we were probably, there's probably some stuff we needed to work on. So I would expect there to be some triggers. I'd expect there to be some things that you disagree with as well. And that's a good thing. Just don't be offended by that, and just let it sit and maybe look into it a bit more, because
these things would
have triggered me a lot as
100%,
well.
100%. Me too. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'd be so triggered. I'd be like, who the fuck are they? The one piece of advice I would have for you is, if you have been triggered, is to ask yourself, like, what am I missing here? You know, why am I being triggered? What am I missing? And what am I not quite grasping? Because when you put that question out to God, the universe, when you put that question out, the answer has to come back. And you might get it today. You might get it in a couple of days. You might get it a month from now. And all of a sudden, okay, yep, that's what I was missing. And you'll get a realization. So thank you again for tuning in with us. And we will see you on the next episode of That's What He Said.
Bye for now.